sit back, relax, and raise a glass. For spirits coming from the past. Sip on salt while your skin crawls with your three haunting hopes having a ball. Spirits and your favorite ghouls, gather the others, no hesitating. The moment's approaching, it's now time to sing. Hogs and hogs, hogs and hogs, crack open the can and fill to the top. Hogs and hogs, hogs and hogs, this is your podcast and it's called Hogs and Hogs.
No matter where you're joining us from, happy 2021 and welcome back to our realm. This is the Haunts and Hops podcast. We cover all things paranormal while going ham on scientific brilliance in the form of craft beer from all over the country. Thanks to our amazing sponsor, Tavor. Follow us on all social media at Haunts and Hops. Johnny LaQuasto with you at Jay Quasto. Let's get to the stars of the show. She's a veteran paranormal investigator, former team member on Ghost Hunters on A&E, a wealth of knowledge, and she's always got most likely an IPA in her hand and definitely a cell phone because that's what she's using to talk to us right now. Find her at Ashley Trobe on the socials. She's the brilliant. She is the sometimes aggressive on social media, Ashley Trobe.
I am the always aggressive on social media.
That's why we love you.
Yeah.
We're just here to fuck shit up.
Thank you for correcting us. Yeah, I appreciate that. And she is certified in paranormal investigation and cryptozoology, a lifelong connection to the paranormal. And you can find her everywhere at either Anastasia Washington or Anastasia W. Or she'll just tell you right now because she's the one, the only, the triple threat, Anastasia Washington.
Oh, hello. Thank you. You got it right. You got it, Johnny.
I got them all. I study you, not in a weird way.
Only sort of a weird way.
Maybe.
I do the weird way.
Mm-hmm. Oh, nice.
So this is our first show of 2021, and we're going to get into all things Roswell 1947. But with that said, we have some really good guests coming up already over the first month of the new year, which is going to be really exciting. But we figured, why not kick the year off? Just us three reconnecting, drinking some beverages. With that said, Ashley, what do you have right now?
I am drinking the brewery, which is from Orange County. It is Ignis Fatis, and I bought this in 2013.
What?
So I have aged it for quite a bit. It is a bomb. God, what? Oh, it was 8.3% at the time, but as you know, when you age beers, they eat the sugars, they get a little bit higher in alcohol content, and let me say, it did not age well. Don't fucking do it. Don't do what I did. It became a sour in some God knows what fucking, I don't even know. It was part of the preservation series. And wow, it didn't age well. So
that's a shame.
You know, it's always hard when you cellar a beer and you try to age things. You're always taking a risk. And I've been trying some of my beers from the last few years because I've been aging them for a long time. And I feel like, well, I'm in my 30s. It's probably time to start getting rid of this shit. Hmm. And man, this is probably one of the worst of the beers so far.
What do you think, if you had to guess, the current ABV might be?
Oh man, it has to be at least 11 at this point. Like, but it's just not good. It doesn't taste good. It's not worth what I did. I've been aging quite a few beers. I've had a cabinet of a million beers. Whoa. And this is probably the worst of them so far. It went from like, it went from being like a nice pumpkin ale to being like an
smashed pumpkin
sour. Yeah.
Smashing pumpkins. Yes.
Yeah. Someone's getting smashed and it sure ain't that bottle. Yeah.
Ashley sipping on the beer with a sad face singing tonight.
Yeah, it's something else. So don't do what I did.
I mean, you know what though? It was an exciting effort. All right. The question is, do you think you'll drink the whole thing, or are you worried about getting a boo boo belly?
Oh yeah, no, I'm broke as fuck, dude. Of course I'm gonna drink it.
Oh, Ashley is a superstar. No matter how bad the beer, she'll finish it. How about you, eh?
Okay, so I have Golden Road Brewing's Christmas cart, kind of like their melon cart or their, it's mango cart. Mm-hmm. But this one is Christmas cart. So it's like cherries and nutmeg and clove. It does taste like a beer candle, and I kind of love that.
And it's aged a few weeks.
It has aged a few weeks because my friend brought over a jug and I was just like, I'm going to keep this until our next episode. Yeah. But it's still fizzy and great and 6% alcohol by volume. And I mean, I don't know that I could drink this every day, but I think as a once a year treat, it's pretty good.
It doesn't look 6% from here.
Mm. I know. Oh.
Apparently it doesn't taste 6% either.
I mean, it's very like, it's very strongly like mold wine.
Oh.
That molds spices.
Yeah. What I find interesting is that you mention all the flavors, the nutmeg and the cinnamon. Mm-hmm. But yet it's a wheat beer, apparently.
It is, yeah.
Yeah, you don't see that very often.
No, I think this one is very unique. Like, I don't know that I would have been like, let's put this in a wheat beer, but I'm glad they did so I could try it. Mm-hmm. And again, I think this is a once a year, like, yay, let's do it. But I don't know how. It's not like I'm going to be like buying packs and packs.
We did a thing.
I did it. You know, like that. That's how I feel about it.
Well, I'm also drinking a Christmas beer. This is from the Hellbent Brewing Company in Seattle, Washington. It's called All Spruced Up, and it's their winter ale. It's clocking in 7.5%, and you know, it's really good. I mean, I think on Untappd, it's rated, I want to say, around 3.7. I tend to go up a little bit because these beer scientists are smarter than me. So why would I dare rate it lower than that? So I'm going to go with like a 4.25.
Okay.
Dan, can you call somebody a beer scientist? Oh my God, Colin, do you hear my son? He wants to say hello to the show.
Hi, Katie.
I did hear that.
Hello.
You want to talk about beer? Or was it an alien?
You want to talk about beer, baby?
It might be, but first we have the Supernatural Scoop. Very disappointed Ashley did not finish that with a burp.
Oh, I thought about it. I'm not going to lie. That was one of the things that went through my head. Like, I could do it now, but that's so 2020.
What's 2021 going to be?
Tune in to find out.
I just shit myself on air. Who knows?
It's funny. I was about to recommend that, but I was like, oh, you'll get to it.
She'll shart. It'll be fine. She'll do it
herself. Oh, dear God. Okay. So this is an article from the Washington Post, actually, that this is going to give you the feels. If you're drinking a strong beverage, which Ashley definitely is, it might make you cry. So the title of the article is, "Near the End of Life, My Hospice Patient Had a Ghostly Visitor Who Altered His View of the World." Okay. So we're going to read this here. And this is just, to me, maybe it's softened me up a little bit because, like, you know, working in a hospital for as long as I have, you see sometimes people who are close to death and people who are, you know, kind of looking over their life, and you have a lot of, I talk to the patients. I don't just rush in and rush out. If I'm able to, I'll sit there and really have a life conversation. And, you know, you really learn, I guess, a little bit about life just by hearing these old people talk sometimes. So that makes sense.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So here's the article. "For months, I visited Evan as his hospice social worker. He has been praying to die. In his early 90s, he'd been dealing with colorectal cancer for more than 4 years, and he is flat tired out. As he sees it, the long days of illness have turned his life into a tedious, meaningless dirge with nothing to look forward to other than its end. He's done, finished. He often talks about killing himself. On this visit, though, his depression seems to have lifted. He's engaged and upbeat, and this sudden about face arouses my suspicions. Has he decided to do it? Is he planning a way out? You seem differently today than other visits, I say casually. What's going on? He looks at me cryptically. Do you believe in ghosts? It's not the first time a patient has asked me this. People have unusual experiences, near the end of life, out-of-body experiences, visitations from beings, stuff like that. There are all kinds of ghosts, I respond seriously. What kind are you talking about? And then he says, do you remember me telling you about the war? And she says, well, yes, how can I forget? He traced his long-standing depression all the way back to when he was a supply officer in World War II. The war basically soured him on the idea that anything good can come from humans and left him feeling unsafe and alone. And the guy at this point says, there's something I left out, something I can't explain. He goes on to describe one horrific ice-cold autumn day. He said casualties were coming in nonstop. He and others scrambled to transport blood-soaked men on stretchers from rail cars to triage, where those were, with a chance, were separated from those who were goners. He said, I'd been hustling all day. By the time the last train arrived, my back felt broken and my hands were numb from the cold. He grimaces and then swallows hard. He said, what happened when the last train got there? I asked softly. He says, we were hauling one guy and my grip on the stretcher slipped. Tears start to roll down this 90-some-year-old man's face. When he hit the ground, his intestines oozed out. Steam rose up from them as he died. And then he said he rubbed his hands together as if they were still cold. He said, later on that night, I was on my cot crying. Couldn't stop crying about the poor guy and everyone else I'd seen die. My cot was creaking. I was shaking. Even started getting scared that I was going to go insane with the pain. Then I look up, saw a guy sitting at the end of my cot. He was wearing a World War I uniform with one of those funny helmets. He was covered in light like he was glowing in the dark. What was he doing? I ask. Evan starts crying and laughing at the same time. He was looking at me with love. I could feel it. I never felt that kind of love before. He said, I can't put it into words. I guess I just felt like I was worth something. Like all the pain and cruelty wasn't what was real. And then it goes to head. He gets to the main crux of it. Basically, that guy was just visited by that same guy again, right before this woman came to visit him. And the guy basically said, I'm here to help you over the bridge or on the path whenever you're ready. Yeah. That's just, you know, you've heard of that stuff happening.
Yeah.
And so it's, I think that's why maybe a lot of people are, as they age, maybe they're less afraid of death in a way, because maybe they get signals along the way that it's okay.
Right.
Right. I think that's why a lot of people, I mean, he said ghost, but a lot of people talk about like spirits and angels and stuff like that. And they feel like, I mean, they're kind of intertwined, right? Like different, like what you might rationalize it to be, whatever comforts you, whatever terminology, but that's.
I mean, I'm just going to say that Ebenezer Scrooge is probably going to be who helps me along the bridge.
Mm, okay. All right.
I'll be honest. I'm not sure he could handle you.
Yeah, I don't know if anybody can, so I agree.
No, that's a good point. His final quote was, the guy said, he told me he was here with me. He's going to help me over the hill when it's time to go.
Oh, he gets a hill? Fudge. I had a bridge.
Maybe it's a bridge, a hill. I mean, who knows? Good, it could be a, you know?
Did you see Soul? It could be a staircase.
I need to see.
Ooh, yeah, Soul was really good.
I was thinking, like, if I was, like, about to pass on and I saw all those stairs, I'd just be kind of like, no.
Yeah.
I'm not going up those stairs.
Yeah, it's like my whole life I got blown up by stairs. I was tired at the end of every single flight. Not about to work hard now.
No. No, there's got to be an elevator option.
Yeah, they didn't even give him an escalator. It was just full of stairs.
All these stairs.
And then once you got done with the stairs, it wasn't like you just get to walk on and do your thing. You had to fucking fall to earth if you were done.
Yeah. Like, it's too much. It's a lot of work. Life is a lot of work.
It is. I want to get slingshotted to heaven. That'd be great.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Or like out of a cannon, and then I just yell like Goofy, like, wahoo!
They're like, another comedian just went to heaven.
Oh, wait, why is he falling? Where's he going? Oh,
wrong place.
Two comedians a year.
It's been a good run. See you, boy.
See you in limbo.
Oh, Lordy. But yeah, I mean, this is such a beautiful thing. And I feel like this happens to a lot of people. I'm sure you guys have heard similar things before, you know?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. These which little, yeah, I mean, it's such a comforting thought that he could feel like it's his time and readily accept that. And
who knows? Maybe yeah. It was the guy's mind who needed to see that guy to put him at ease. That's entirely possible right. too. But either way, it put this guy at ease. It put him in a better mood. And hey, look, exactly. Whatever people need.
Exactly. I just love that whatever happened, whether it be an entity or his mind, he went peacefully, you know, and he felt at peace. That's the only thing that matters, really.
Absolutely. Now, there's no easy way to transition from this beautiful story really to Roswell 1947, but what better way to kick off the year? You know, Roswell, it's crazy because we're getting to the point now where essentially anyone who was alive when Roswell happened is no longer with us. We're basically starting to get, you know, accounts from grandkids and nieces and nephews and stuff like that, but they're, you know, obviously there's the book Witness to Roswell. There's a show in the History Channel hosted by Lawrence Fishburne. They did a three-parter where it's well over an hour each episode. And I've seen the first couple. Awesome job, everyone on that show. Let me go to you both. Ashley, you first. What are your thoughts on Roswell in general? Like in 1947, everything that happened, what's your perspective?
Oh, what do you mean my perspective?
I mean, what intrigues you the most about it, as far as everything that you know of it?
I mean, shoot, man, all of it. Like, it's one of those things that we know so much and so little at the same time. And when it comes to Roswell, it's something that all of us have joked about. I mean, there's been a goddamn entire TV series about it. You know, it's one of those situations where it feels almost like Bigfoot at this point, in the sense that we all want to talk about it. We all want to know what happened there. We want to know what's going on. And somehow none of us actually know the legitimate truth, which is unfortunate because it's a real place. There's real people there. There's real situations that people have gone through. It's hard to say because I don't have an opinion, in the sense that I haven't been there to investigate, and I haven't gotten to like actually go to Roswell and be like, okay, well, this is what I think. Mm-hmm. I wish I had a better answer than that. But what it comes down to legitimately is I don't have an opinion because I've never actually been there to be a part of it. Everything I know about Roswell has been from media of some sort, the internet or TV or whatever it might be. So I just know that there's a lot of people that believe, and I think it would be really interesting one day to be able to go there and figure out what the fuck went down.
Anastasia?
Yeah, I mean, I actually haven't been to Roswell either, but I will say that it is I feel like we have to establish that something happened there, right? Like something, mm-hmm. whether it be the government, like, you know, testing out something and people seeing it, something happened there. And we have all these different stories of all over the world, but we'll focus on Roswell as well. But so I think something happened, and either the government is like, didn't want to share that with us, or it was just some kind of weird phenomenon that nobody could explain at the time. But I think something happened there. I don't want to speculate on what, but mm-hmm. something happened there. There was an event.
I mean,
July 1947, there was some kind of event.
I'm just going all in on this because I've read the book Witness to Roswell. I've been watching the History Channel show, and I've taken notes, especially on the Witness to Roswell book, which is a long book. Yeah. And the number of firsthand accounts that all say similar things, almost like to a T, the same exact things. It is hard to deny. And these are not just yahoos off the street. These are high-ranking government officials who stayed silent for a long time, who either some on their deathbed or some as they got older. Like Major Jesse Marcel is kind of the center of the History Channel show because they're working with his family and they're doing everything from his journal. They're trying to find out if he wrote it himself or if it was written in code. Mm-hmm. And they have a cryptics expert. It's fascinating to see what's going on. But you have people like Jesse Marcel, Walter Hout, Dr. Lashun Foster, like all these people who have just said one thing after another, they're all just so similar. And then, of course, Mac Brazel was the poor farmhand or ranch hand who found the wreckage, and his life was made essentially miserable for the rest of his existence because of what happened. And, his civil rights were taken away. He was apparently detained for almost a week by the government, and he's sitting there like, I don't know what the hell you guys are holding me for.
Yeah.
Jesus.
Yeah. Well, and that's why I'm like, something happened. I just don't, space scares me. Space is scary to me. Not so much the entities from space, but space scares me. So I don't know that much about space, what I'm saying. But what I do know is that there was some kind of event that made an impression on a whole bunch of people. And while their accounts can be similar, people will probably say like, oh, well, that's like, kind of herd hysteria or something like that. But I don't know. I think it's a little more than that. I think there was a shared experience.
I mean, there had to have been. I mean, place is historic for it. So there's got to be something that we don't see or that we're not dealing with that these people have experienced. And it's such a particular and peculiar situation because it's not just like 100 people. It's
right.
Not just like 1,000 people. It's hundreds of thousands of people that are just like, Roswell's fucked. And this is what's going on. So it's kind of terrifying. I mean, I can't even imagine being in that situation.
Right. Back then, especially, in 1947. And you're right. Herd hysteria, it's a thing. I mean, look at the dancing plague, amongst other things. But with this, all the accounts are very similar. What's interesting is in the 90s, the government went back in and did a full-on investigation, essentially starting at square one. And it's hilarious because the initial explanation in 1947 was, it was a weather balloon, and they even made Jesse Marcel pose with the supposed weather balloon that crashed. And Jesse Marcel later said, he goes, that didn't crash anywhere. They just gave me that and made me pose with the photo, right?
Oh.
So in the 90s, the government went through a whole investigation again, and they claim that what they believe it was something called Project Mogul, which at the time was a secret program to try to keep up with the Soviets. So they said it was a form of a weather balloon. They were basically saying like, yeah, we did lie back then, but it was still weather balloons, just a different type of weather balloon. And it's like,
we lied, but we didn't really lie. Only sort of lied.
I mean, this is conspiracy theory of me, but I feel like there's two things that happen, either one or the other that happened in 1947, right? Either they were really pushing the limits of technology to get us to like space so that we could beat the Russians to space because there's a huge leap, right? Like, how did we get there? Like, we didn't even have freaking phones that we could walk around with and we got them to the moon, right? Or something landed and helped us and we were like, we'll just keep you secret and we'll learn from you kind of thing. Like, I don't know. That's very conspiracy theorist of me, but I'm just saying there was a huge jump of technology from like the 40s to like, 50s, 60s. Like it just went crazy how fast, like how much technology my mom has seen change. Like that's insanity. Like,
just here to say, Alien versus Predator. I saw how that movie went down. Just put it out there that.
Well, I mean, you talk about the difference between a couple of decades. We had no cell phones in the 90s. Until the late 90s, at least.
We had fucking massive bricks, bro.
Yeah, we had the big bricks and the car phones.
Our phones, sure.
Yeah.
But as far as people walking around with cell phones, that essentially didn't really happen until just over two decades ago.
Yep.
Yeah.
So, yeah, even a lot's changing. A lot's always changing. And yeah, they're always looking towards the next step. And so I'm going to run down a bunch of the supposed facts from
people.
So
all right.
The accounts that are the most consistent is that everyone who was there, they say they saw four bodies total with one possibly still alive. Each had four fingers with suction cup type appendages. And also there were multiple requests made to a local, I guess you could say not a coroner, but they wanted child caskets, right? And the guy delivered the child caskets to the base. And almost the moment he got there to deliver them, he was told right away to turn around and get the hell out. Like he was kicked out real quick.
That's
right.
Okay.
Yeah. And also going back to Mac Brazel, was a ranch hand. He knew everything about the land. He knew what a weather balloon looked like. His family had said, like, if it was a weather balloon, he would have just cleaned it up himself because the animals would have got to it. They would have tried to eat it. He knew what a weather balloon looked like. So there was a reason why he was so confused by all this wreckage, because it looked nothing like a weather balloon. And that's why eventually he went to go report it. What's crazy is the timing of everything, right? So Brazel ends up doing an interview with KGFL, the local radio station, right? But he does the radio interview like late afternoon. He talks to a guy named Judd Roberts, who was the local reporter, did a wire interview. But KGFL had already signed off for the day because, you know, back then radio stations were only on for certain points of the day.
Right.
So KGFL was like, okay, we'll just go with this in the morning. Well, the government found out that Mac Brazel did this interview. So before KGFL had a chance to release the Brazel interview, they went to the station and threatened with a complete shutdown if they did not hand over everything, which they did. And that interview has never been seen or heard ever again.
Jesus.
Mm.
Yeah. Shady.
Shady.
Now, of course, that goes to the question of, like, we talk about now in 2021, are we ready to know there's aliens? Judging by what we just saw last week, we're not even ready to coexist with each other. So,
yeah, we can't deal with each other. We can't deal with you.
The thing is, collectively as a society, we may never be 100% all of us ready. That's just the thing. Like, yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's a good point. I mean, honestly, think about it. If you're the aliens and you're watching what went down last week, you have to be thinking, like, all right, we can learn nothing from these morons.
Y'all, they're fighting over the color of their skin. Fuck this.
Yeah.
Get out of here.
Yeah, they're like, not right time. They were all like coming out, like ready to come out. And then they were like,
They were like, just like, the Predators had it right.
Yeah, they're like, read the room, dude. Read the room.
They're looking down. They're like, they're looking down like, I've never seen a lot of people run into that building before.
Yeah, that's not good.
Okay. They're dropping off the xenomorphs and they're just letting us steal is what it comes down to in the end. So here we go.
Okay, well, I'm going to finally go into my predator form then.
Hope
okay.
You let y'all have mouths and mouths and mouths.
So Major Jesse Marcel, talk about a central figure in this whole thing. He was in charge of Air Force security and intelligence briefings, and he was named head of intelligence at Roswell. He essentially was not only blindsided, he was eventually made a scapegoat by the government. He was forced to stage photos, like I said. And this is where, you know, I strongly encourage anyone who's interested in Roswell, watch the History Channel show. Very intriguing. Lieutenant Walter Hout, another one, he backed up years later what Marcel said. And it took years for Jesse Marcel to go public. He finally did one like bombshell interview as an old man, probably, I want to say it was in the 80s at some point. So Walter Hout says, quote, some type of craft from outer space from where I do not know. And he also founded the UFO Roswell Museum. He had a sworn affidavit that was released after his death because he made a promise to keep quiet when he was alive. It goes really into detail about when he saw the craft and the bodies and the heads. And of course, the description goes right into what I mentioned a few minutes ago. So Walter Hout and Jesse Marcel, same page, both, you know, high-ranking officials, if you will. Some even higher-ranking officials stayed quiet for their whole lives because a lot of them, they had their reasons, whether it be the possibility of their pension being taken away or the fact that they were a high rank and they would be, you know, drugged through the mud. So there were some people that stayed quiet to their death.
Or murder.
Yeah. Could be that too.
I don't know.
Can I just say I love this story, but I also can't not laugh to myself that Anastasia's beer, every time she picks it up, is a little bit more full than it was before.
Well, put me on blast, why don't you?
Morph, what do you mean?
It's empty now.
A Mississippi mud container.
It's empty. My growler is empty.
It's a good looking growler.
Well, it's empty now because I've done been drinking it.
It's every time you take a sip, it's like a little bit more full. And I'm like, oh yeah, yeah, she's worth drinking. Cool.
It's like what is it called when you see it in movies when they do that? The script, I can never say it. Continuity.
I say it wrong.
Yeah. That you're always like, fuck, that person wasn't on their job. That's me now.
I remember the one night we recorded a couple months ago, and I had to get up super early and I just did not want to drink. And I pretended I had the beer in front of me because I had it before and I knew it was good. And I turned it in an angle to where if it was open, it would have poured. And Ashley's like, hey, you gonna open that beer? I'm like, why don't you kiss my ass, Ashley?
You know, I get that a lot these days.
It was well done on your part. You were right. You were right.
You were right.
My bad. If it makes you feel better.
A white male just said you were right. Take that. Stitch it on a pillow. Hey.
First off, none of you should be shocked. I apologize for...
No, I love it.
Our dumbasses all the time.
You're an amazing white male, but I'm just saying that moment is historic.
Look, I got a lot to make up for, especially after whatever January 6th was, I think it was.
You are one of my favorite white males.
Oh, thanks. I appreciate it.
Yeah, it's true.
Whew. All right. Get me that blue ribbon. All right.
Give that abst.
This individual, too, very interesting. Dr. Lashun Foster was a spine specialist and had worked undercover for the FBI during World War II. She had top security clearance. So we're talking important person. Trusted person, respected person, right? Mm-hmm. She was called to DC. Mm-hmm. She also admitted to seeing the bodies, quote, short with larger heads, strange eyes, and missing specific internal organs. She was also saying that she was warned that she would lose her license and possibly her life if she ever talked about it publicly. So obviously she, I believe, waited until way later in life to talk about it. But damn.
Ew.
Yeah, they weren't very quaint about it. Whoever were making these threats in the government back then, like, hey, you want to live? You better shut up about these goddamn aliens.
What's up, bitch? I'd be a great agent when it comes to
the government.
Good cop, bad cop. We know what your side is.
Mine would be goodish bad. Like, here's a cookie. Slap!
Yeah. Ashley would be the one that walks right in and just do the Bernie Mac backhand and then just shove the cookie right in their face.
See, that's goodish badish cop because they got a cookie. Got a cookie.
Yo, but that's like when you think about it, though, it is kind of terrifying because, like, I mean, obviously, it's like what Chris Villain said when we had him on the show. Like, we all fucking believe in aliens. We all believe that there is something going on.
Of course.
But when you actually start to hear details like that, it's kind of terrifying. Like, this is really stupid, but one of the most terrifying moments in cinematic history for me was during Signs, right? And not a scary movie, but during Signs. A little fucking alien dude walks across this weird backyard area during a party in Brazil And it was one of the most terrifying moments of my life. And there's nothing about that scene that is actually terrifying except an alien walking across the scene. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know what it is, but that set me off for the rest of my life. I saw that movie fucking forever ago. And to this day, I still think about it and I still get really freaked out about it. And there's nothing actually like physically or mentally scary when you watch the scene by itself.
Yeah.
But just knowing it was an alien and knowing that that could happen and everything connecting to it, you're just like, nope, never going to sleep again.
Yeah. I've always been really super scared of, oh, go ahead. Sorry.
No, you go.
Oh, no, I was just saying I've always been scared of space because I used to have panic attacks even like as early as like six years old. Like I would like look up at the sky and like have panic attacks about like hanging in nothingness. And my mom, I was talking to my mom the other day. I was like, do you remember when I thought I was abducted by aliens as a kid? And she was like, yeah. And I was like, so what did you say to me? And she's like, I just believed you. I believe whatever happened, happened. Or, you know, even if it was a very vivid dream. When I was a kid, I thought I was abducted by aliens. I was so terrified of aliens in space. Like, so terrified. I have no idea, like, where this comes from. But it's just, like, the unknown. It's just, it's like deep sea. Like, deep ocean. Like, that is scary as fuck.
Scary. Not
yeah. Anyway. It's like the uncharted territories that are so fucking scary.
Really solid parenting by your mom, though, because most parents would shoot it down and be like, oh, you're just being silly. But your mom, like, no, I respect you as a child and I respect what may have happened. Yeah.
She's like, I'm not going to, you know, like, she goes, I just want to make sure you're okay.
Well, you bet, mom. She's the best.
She is the best. She is. Our mom. She is. She's the collective mom. But yeah, like, it's just so weird because I was like, I hadn't really thought about it until like I was on this podcast and I was talking about like scary stories and it came up and I was like, oh yeah, I remember when I was a kid, I thought I was abducted by aliens. Like,
wow.
Like, yeah, I don't know.
Okay. I had one experience where I still to this day, I'm not 100% sure what happened, but I'm kind of in the mind space that it was probably aliens.
Right. See, that's the thing. It's like, I feel like it's a weird memory. Like, you don't know if it was like a dream or if you were abducted or whatever. It's like a haze.
I remember this very specifically. I was living in Modesto. I was a teenager. I had just moved out with my dad and just moved in with my mom. And my mom didn't have a place. So we moved in with my aunt. My aunt had just had triplets. And so we were living with her, trying to help her take care of her triplets with her husband. And I remember I walked outside. My mom was yelling something and I walked outside and she was staring at the sky, just looking scared to death. And I walk out there and all of our neighbors in that cul-de-sac were staring up at the sky and everybody looked scared. Like, it was the weirdest situation. I've never been in anything like that before. And I walk out and I look up and you see something very clearly, like it was almost like, you know, like when you see the space station, you know, it's a space station. Right. It's just a little dot, you know, floating around, but you know what it is. It was kind of like that. But instead there was one thing stationary in the sky. It was a little white dot. And then there were like six or seven other little things going back and forth from it.
And like darting back and forth. Would you say it was darting back and forth?
Yeah, absolutely. Oh, and it was just going back and forth. It was almost like they were like delivering something to this one main thing. And to this day, I still can't explain it. I remember seeing how horrified the entire neighborhood was. And I was, you know, like I was 15 or 16 when this happened. I was, you know, very young. And I still cannot explain it. I have no idea what happened that day. But what I do remember is everyone in my neighborhood was on the street in that cul-de-sac staring at the sky, not knowing what to do. And it was like one of the scariest moments of my life because I was like, if this is like it, this is, we're done. Like, this is aliens. And they just decide like, yeah, fuck them. Like, we're going to send a little laser down. You know, like it would have been it. So, but yeah, I have no idea to this day. I cannot explain it. I just remember what I saw. I remember my mom will not talk to me about it to this day.
What?
Yeah. So yeah, no, it freaked her out really bad.
I mean, it's scary. I mean, like I remember waking up, I think I was like around seven years old or whatever. I remember waking up like drenched in sweat and that my window was open, which my windows are never open. Cause like when I was a kid, my bedroom is like the front room to like the house. So like, having a window open would be the stupidest thing ever, right? Because like that's intruder central. So it was like open, and I remember closing it and just feeling like sweat and just like weird like goo and just freaking out. And then telling my mom, and she was like, "What?" And I was like, "Yeah, I think someone took me." And she was like, "Are you okay?" And I was like, "Yeah, I just feel like I was took. Like I feel like I feel like I went somewhere last night."
What the fuck?
I know.
Were you brought back by someone who has a particular set of skills?
Yes. Okay. Taken.
Yeah.
It was Liam Neeson before he was racist.
Sure. Wow.
Yeah.
I mean, going back to what you guys saw in the trailer park. Yeah. Here's the thing. It's when you see the stuff darting back and forth, what else is it? Because our aircrafts don't do that. They go straight trajectory across the sky at a pretty goddamn fast pace, but they do not dart back and forth.
No.
And I don't know. And a shooting star goes in one direction and it fizzles out. So they're, you know, we saw the footage that was released by the, you know, the governed by the Navy last year, which we had seen the footage prior to that, where you see on the radar stuff that can't be explained. These guys are in high powered jets and these things are darting across the radar.
Yeah, that's that. I think every time I look up at the sky and I see something unexplained, I slightly panic, right? Like, I feel like the last time I was at Disneyland, I remember we were like walking out of Disneyland. What is even that anymore? But we were looking up at the sky and there's like huge, like it looked like a fireball, right? Just and we're like, all of us just like stopped and we're like, so there's a variety of things. We're being invaded. It's a comet. Somebody is trying to, it's like a nuke, you know, we all just went, what? And then we all just went on. We were just like, well, at least if we're going to die, we're dying at Disneyland.
Yeah. They might be coming to get us, but hey, it's the Electric Light Parade.
Oh my God, they don't have the Electric Light Parade anymore. You're so cute.
No, they don't have anything anymore, Anastasia.
Oh, that's true. Okay, valid point.
Just devastating. I got a few more names here for you. Once again, you know, a lot of families have spoken for their departed relatives. We have a guy named George Wilcox. His granddaughter has gone public about the bullying from the government and the threats from the government after he had seen the crash site. Another guy, Hunter G. Penn, his foster daughter said he was in charge of using any force necessary to keep people quiet. So this is a guy who knew exactly what was going on, and his job was essentially to be one of the bullies. He was even allowed to use weaponry and physical force. Penn confirmed to her, his foster daughter, that the crash was extraterrestrial, but didn't know where, quote, they were from. And then we have one more here.
Wait, can I ask a question? Please. So by any means necessary, meaning he could murder?
They threatened death. I don't think there's been any reported deaths from anyone that I know of.
Okay.
And there was Sergeant Leroy Wallace, a Cherokee Indian officer who was called to the crash site to move the bodies, quote. His wife said he came. This is the one that really freaks me out. His wife said he came home disheveled with the worst smell ever on him. They burned the clothes. It was so bad. And she said he became very OCD after that. And especially after he got home from cleaning the debris or, quote, whatever it was, he walked around for two full days without sleeping and was eventually transferred 3 months later from what his position was. So he was changed for good after going down.
What the fuck? That's...
Well, you know, a good stench will change you for life.
That it will.
So I mean, that's... terrifying.
I don't want to know, but I do.
It truly is, and it's amazing. It really is a game of inches. You know, what if Mac Brazel went to KGFL earlier in the day and they threw the interview out there before the government found out? holy Lord. Or, you know, what if these other high-ranking government officials decided to buck the threats and go public right away? Or what if photos, you know, got leaked? I mean, there's so many what ifs that could have happened. But
well, they would have just covered it up. Like if they had released the, you know, the interviews or whatever, they would have been like, that was a hoax, or that was like some kind of like drama. It was not real. It was some kind of joke. You know, they would have spun it.
And there's also a quote from Jesse Marcel on audio recording to where he said, as much as he has said, he admitted, he said, there's still a lot I just will never tell. He said, I just can't do it. I need to protect other people and I can only say so much. So, damn.
That's also terrifying in a lot of ways. Like, man.
But I want to know.
Something definitely happened. It was not a, and look, I've never been there. I almost did go to the yearly annual UFO festival in Roswell in 2019, but I couldn't make it. It's usually always the July 4th weekend, but I couldn't make it, but I will get there someday. But
yeah, I've been wanting to do it.
Sounds like we have a trip.
We should make a trip for sure.
Yeah, I think that would be a great trip.
Yeah, but it's just, I don't know. This is the most we may ever find out, because anyone who was there is no longer with us. And now it's all secondhand, thirdhand accounts.
Right.
Mm-hmm. That's why I encourage anyone who's interested in this to watch the History Channel show, because they go really, like, even I'm watching it, I'm like, they don't really need 4 hours of this, but hell, I'm in. Yeah, it's a lot.
I have a friend that is like so into aliens. He like will send me stuff all the time about like how aliens are in Malibu and stuff like that. I'm like, what? Like, he knows the different descriptors of each kind of alien. It's awesome. That's too much focus for me.
There's aliens in Malibu?
Yeah, they're under the water. Yeah,
under the water.
Okay. You know what? We should have him on the show. He can explain all this.
Oh my God! Can we? Please?
Yes.
Are they mermaids? Mermaid aliens?
Men. Men.
So wait, would you call him more of a conspiracy guy than, or does he do his research as far as like extraterrestrial kind of thing?
So he's kind of conspiracy theorist, but okay. That's like, but like, you know, he's like always just like looking into all of like whatever theories out there, whatever it is. And I'm just like,
okay. No, that's great. Look, as long as he's not on the podcast saying, hey, Q sent me, cool, let's have him on.
Oh, yeah. No, he's not like that.
Then I'm down. We got to draw a line somewhere.
We do draw the line at Q.
Exactly. Where we drew that line hard. I don't know why I had to say hard. That
yeah, we did. We draw that line hard. Anyways, if you have had a paranormal experience or anything extraterrestrial, did you ever see something in the sky that you thought had to be from other worlds? Call us 818-660-6191. That's 818-660-6191. Some of you listening had to see something in the sky at one point. So leave us a voicemail. We'll play it on the show. We'd love to talk about it. Also, we forgot to mention Tavor. Download Tavor, T-A-V-O-U-R. Use the code HAUNTS10. You will get $10 off your first crate of delicious craft beer delivered right to your door.
Yes.
And that's it. Anastasia, put yourself over.
Well, you can find me at Anastasia W, at Anastasia Wash on Instagram. Well, at Anastasia W on Twitter, at Anastasia Wash on Instagram, Anastasia TV on YouTube. And my one woman show is being replayed at Solo Fest at Whitefire Theater on March 24th. Tickets are forthcoming. I don't know yet.
All right. I can't wait. I'll buy another ticket. Let's go. Yay! Woo!
I'm Ashley Tribb on everything, and if you want to hear me talk shit about people and everything in existence, follow me on Twitter. It's a lot of fun. I'm so much fun on Twitter. Don't follow me on anything else, because I'm less fun there.
Yeah, you're so fun. I'm not cool enough to even know what you're talking about half the time, but I'm still on board.
I know. Again, this is really funny that you mentioned that, because I had to tag you and Aaron like twice.
And my comment was, what are we doing here?
What's up? What, I don't understand.
I support you, but I don't know what I'm doing. But hi.
I love it.
Foxo, where can we find you?
Yes.
Well, we are at Haunts and Hops. Tell a couple of friends. We have some really cool guests coming up that we're very excited for. And that's what 2021 is going to be all about, is just branching out, trying to get guests in, and just trying to give you the best show possible. If you're going to give us your ears, we will give you entertainment for those ears. I am at Jay Quasto on all social media platforms. With that said, I think it's time to say goodbye.
Bye. Bye.
Okay. Bye. Thank you so much for listening. If you enjoyed it, tell a couple of friends and please rate and review the show on whatever platform you're listening on, especially if it's iTunes and Apple Podcasts. We appreciate you.